Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On podcast, where we are focused on giving hope and strength to the entire military community. Whether you're a veteran, active duty, guard, reserve, or a family member, this podcast will share inspirational stories and resources that are useful to you. I'm your host, Scott DeLucio, and now let's get on with the show. When things go sideways, will you be prepared? Some people are concerned they might have to go for a long time without electricity or even food. That's why I want to introduce you to 4patriots.com. Get preparedness products you can use now, and that could save your life later. My favorite is 4patriots' new solar generator, the Patriot Power Generator 2000X. It uses the endless free power of the sun to power lights, your TV, medical equipment, even run your fridge. Plus, it's expandable and comes with a free solar panel. Or pick up one of 4patriots' best-selling survival food kits. Delicious tasting and designed to last for 25 years. They even have kits with real meat, and if the power's out, no worries. Just boil water over a fire, simmer, and serve. You'll enjoy a hot meal and stay safe in a crisis. More smart people than ever are finding 4patriots. Over 2 million customers trust them, and you might have even seen them on TV. I had the folks at 4patriots set up a special page for you at 4patriots.com/drive-on so that listeners of this podcast can see this week's discounts and deals before they go away. Go to 4patriots.com/drive-on, but hurry, these deals won't last long. Save more and get peace of mind now by going to 4patriots.com/drive-on. Hey everybody, welcome back to Drive On. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and today my guest is Andrea Valelli. Andrea is here to share her powerful message that no matter what experiences you've had, that you're not broken. So let's talk about the wisdom and the insights that she's going to bring to help navigate towards this better health and well-being, this better state of mind here. So before we get into that, I want to welcome you to the show first. So welcome to the show, Andrea. I'm really glad to have you here.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here. This is a pleasure and an honor. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. For the folks who aren't familiar with you and your background and stuff, could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I am my initial training is as a happiness coach. I call myself a transformational coach now, because the idea is that if you are looking to make a change in your life, wouldn't it be cool to transform? We all have the ability to be the healthiest version of ourselves, the most empowered version of ourselves. So that to me looks like transformation. So that's what I do. And I get to do it for teens. I get to do it with businesses. I get to do it with anybody that is looking to make a shift in their life.
Well, one of the things I think that drew me to you and your message and the stuff that you are talking about here is that message that I mentioned just a second ago, that no matter what experiences people have had, that they're not broken. And there is a transformation that occurs, especially when people experience things that are harsh, they're traumatic, maybe they're difficult situations. There is a transformation that occurs, and depending on how you are perceiving what had happened, it could be a negative, it could be a positive transformation. It all is what you make of it, I suppose, right? And so I'm sure we'll get more into that in a bit here, but I wanted to at least mention that real quick here to just kind of get the ball rolling about what it is that we are going to be chatting about here. So can you share a little bit about your personal journey and any of the experiences that you've gone through that led to this understanding that you, no matter what you've gone through, you're not a broken person?
Yes. Well, I've done so much research and studying. When I was in my early 30s, I was given a book called Many Lives, Many Masters, which is by a guy named Brian Weiss. And he was a psychiatrist who his book, Many Lives, Many Masters, is about a patient that he had that he had had a ton of success. He was the head of psychiatry at Jackson Memorial down in Miami. He was a real big deal. And he had this one particular patient that he had been working with for a year and a half and was still not able to help her, which was extremely unusual for him. And he had done a rotation on hypnosis. So he decided, let me try this out. And with that hypnosis, he ended up regressing her back many lifetimes, whether you believe in that or not. That wasn't really what was so exciting for me. But what was exciting was the message. So the message from the masters, which he got from working with her, was that we are made of love. We are here to love. Love is our essence. We are never broken. That is the essence of who we are. And this, you know, we're sort of working with this machinery that's you know, encompassing us like a costume. And that costume is the personality that we walk around in, but our essence can never be broken. And when I read that book, it was like, I'm sure you've had this experience in your own life where something just clicks and you knew it was true. Like, I knew it was true. I didn't care about worrying about whether past lives are true. It wasn't about that for me. It was like, oh, I know our essence is always perfect. I knew it. And it was so gripping that I couldn't look away. So that's when I started studying, and I worked with Dr. Robert Holden, that's where I studied happiness and success. And then I studied NLP and I studied hypnosis. And so I just sort of ran the gamut of having a better understanding of where our experience is coming from. And that's where I got into the principles that actually create our human experience. So it's the physics behind our psychology. So when you look beyond our psychology, you see what makes up our experience, that's where evolution begins, because you get to see that everything is possible because we're only always experiencing thought in the moment. So this doesn't take away from our experience, doesn't take away from traumas, but what it does is it gives us the realization that every single moment we are deciding how we want to show up in the world. So that to me is extremely gripping, and that leaves all options available regardless of what we've been through. So that was what really, like, you know, I said, oh, I can't look away from this. In fact, this is what I want to do now in my life, as my career.
You know, that is interesting. So you're saying, through the research and the studies that you have participated in, that basically there's this perfect, you know, essence of, you know, kind of who we are. Where is the disconnect then in terms of, I think in my mind anyway, I think of perfection is like, yes, this almost unattainable status of, you know, like you always want to get better, but perfection, yes, is like the best it could possibly be. There is no better than perfection. So there's perfection that's all the way up here. And then there's down here, there's everyday life. And, mm-hmm, where is that disconnect? And how do we get to that closer to that perfection level, as we navigate through life?
Well, I think, here's the thing. We are perfectly perfect as we are. And it doesn't mean that we don't build our skills.
Okay.
Okay. But here's the thing, is that if we're building our skills on quicksand, that we have no chance. So it's like, you know, if you build a house, you want a solid foundation. You're going to build a house that's going to be sustainable. But if you build a house on quicksand, good luck. So we want to understand that our base, no matter what, is perfection, meaning perfection that we are okay as is. Again, it doesn't mean that we don't want to build skills. It doesn't mean that we don't want to become better or improve something, but it means that we're building it from a solid foundation, which is, takes all the pressure off of thinking that we have to be better before we can build something. And a lot of times as human beings, we get in our heads like, I'm not good enough to do that. I need to get better at X, Y, and Z before I can even start doing that. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. That's where the disconnect is. The disconnect is the belief that we're not already okay enough to build what it is that we want to build in life.
You know, I think that was the problem that I just had in describing the perfection versus here's perfection's all the way up here and everyday life is down here. And what you're saying is it's basically being satisfied, being happy, being content, being understanding that this is perfect. What we have right now, that we're perfect. This is great. This is everything's good, wonderful. Fill in the blank with whatever word you want to use, right? This is something that we should be happy about, what we have, and look around and be grateful for the things that we have, and you know, be grateful for the health that you have, because even if you have bad health, it could be worse, right? And so like, this is good. And so let's now work on building that. And that's kind of what you're trying to say, right?
Yes, it's coming from a solid foundation of, I remember I wrote, it was never published, but it was the second chapter to my book that I haven't finished. But, and it was called Okay As Is. So yeah. You know how like you go in a store and there's like the as is model, you know, and it's like right. A little bit, you know, like, oh, it's on sale because it's as is, but that's okay. You know, somebody buys that because they know it's okay, yeah. Because they can fix that little scratch. You know what I mean? They can tighten up the leg that's loose on the table. You know, it's like as is okay. When we know, wait a second, I'm already okay. And from this place of being already okay, I can achieve more. So I can, you know, maybe achieve better health by putting XYZ into place. I mean, I love that you're talking about health because if we believe that we're not already okay, our DNA literally shrivels up. Like when we're in stress, in a stressful mode, our DNA literally curls up. When our DNA is all curled up, we are not, we're not in a place where our body has its natural ability to heal. Our body has a natural ability to heal. Mm-hmm. When our DNA is sort of in this like floaty, you know, state where it's relaxed, right? That's when our body has the ability to heal. So if we're stressing that we're not where we want to be, our body is in a stressed mode. So we're actually stopping ourselves from its natural ability to reset, which our body does have.
Yeah. Yeah. So you mentioned being a happiness coach. So mm-hmm. I got to imagine a big piece of what you do has to do with what we were just talking about, right? As far as, you know, understanding that, you know, look at life around you. Things are good, you know, and focus on the positives or the improvements that can be made as opposed to, oh, this is so bad. You know, this thing is terrible and you're dwelling on that, right? And so now you're in that stressful state that you're just talking about, and things don't really get better when you're focused on the negatives and the misery and all the doom and gloom of the world. But when you focus on the positives and the potential for improvement, things seem to seem a little bit better, right? And is that kind of the basis for what you do?
Yes. Yeah. There's no room for movement when we're focused on what's wrong.
Yeah.
It's like being in the basement, you know, with the lights out. Yeah. There's nothing there, you know, but if you get in the elevator and you go up to the fifth floor and you look out the window, you can see, oh, there's a whole neighborhood here, but I couldn't see it when I was, you know, in the basement. That's and then, you know, if you get in the elevator and go up to the penthouse, then you can really see, you know, we're in New York. Oh my God, there's the Hudson River. We're on an island. I had no idea. So all things are possible when we expand our awareness, because that's all it is. There's always a way, but there's not a way when we're stuck in the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So talk to us about the side of things with being a happiness coach and what, how do you guide people to realize that things are okay and things can get better no matter what has happened in the past? That shouldn't be the thing that's weighing you down. There should be other stuff that you know, that you can use to pull yourself up, or maybe you know, even use that negative experience as a springboard to something better. You know, how do you work with folks like that?
Yeah, well, the first thing that comes up for me is identity. You know, are we identifying with what we want to see, or are we identifying with something that creates turmoil and havoc and sadness in our life? So how are you identifying? If you're identifying as, you know, as an ill person or as somebody who always gets the short end of the stick or, you know, always sort of in a very sad state of mind, you will continue to create that in your life because the world is our mirror. Yeah. But if you're identifying with something, even if you've been through something traumatic, if you are identifying with what can I learn from this and what can I bring to the world, you know, that just opens everything up. It just opens everything up. So the first thing is to see, you know, how do I actually see myself? Because there's a lot of different, you know, roles that we can play in life, mm-hmm. but we are the ones that get to choose it. We can choose to play the role of being stuck, or we can choose to play the role of being, you know, open to possibilities. So to me, that's a game changer. When we see the fluidity of our experience and how it can change based on what we're open to seeing, that is how we start looking in a direction of creating that shift in your life that most people want to have. If they're coming to me, they're coming to me, or they're joining our conversation or joining our membership or coming to a retreat or something like that, because people want to see something different. They know they've got this little nudge inside. I know that something could be different. Right. So they're willing to look. And that's where change begins. Change begins looking on the inside. And then as a result of a shift on the inside, the world around us has to change. So I think where we get stuck in a misunderstanding is believing that the outside world has to change in order for us to be happy. But it's actually the other way around.
That's right. It is. And I know just with being a father, raising my kids, I tell them all the time, you know, they get angry at something that has happened with some outside thing. It's not them, you know, something else happened. Someone did something to them or whatever, and they get mad at that. And I keep telling them, like, you can only control you, you know, focus on the variables that you can control. You know, whatever is under your control, then you go and focus on that and make that as good as it can be. Yeah, bad things still happen every once in a while, but someone might do something bad to you. Maybe it's intentional, maybe it's an accident, but things can happen. Focus on you and focus on your response to that. But you know, you were talking earlier, like if you're focused on the negatives and you're focused on, oh, I'm always sick, I'm just this sick person, or I'm always sad, or you know, whatever, the world's out to get me and doom and gloom and all this stuff, right? The things that you focus on are going to be the things that you tend to receive, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's just the way the world works. And I love what you're teaching your kids, because, you know, we get to choose where we put our lens, you know, where we focus. There are 11 million impressions that are available to us as human beings per second. We take in 40. That's all that we're capable of. So what 40 are you taking in? You know, are you in the basement with the lights out, or are you in the penthouse?
Right.
And it's not taking away from our experience, because some of us have had really awful, horrible, you know, earth-shattering experiences. However, we do not have to continue to carry what is not serving us in our backpack all day. We just don't have to continue to carry what is not serving us. If it is serving us and it is serving the people around us because there's something helpful in it, that's fantastic. But if it's not serving us, we can choose again. We can always choose again. We can always look ahead. We can always grab a fresh perspective. It doesn't take away from our experience, but it can give us a new, fresh beginning to look forward. Because if it doesn't feel good, you know, we want to feel good. So it gives us that opportunity to see something fresh and new moving forward.
Right. And I think I want to make maybe a military analogy for some of the listeners who might be sitting there thinking, like, how do I let go of this thing? Yeah. How do I put that back? And, you know, you said it's not serving you. Yeah. Okay, well, what do I do with that stuff, right? But just to bring it back to the military, for anyone who has served and has ever gone out on patrol or a ruck march or something like that, where you've got a pack on your back and you've got all the stuff that you need for that mission or for that day or for whatever it is that you're going to accomplish. And you throw a bunch of stuff in there and it's heavy and you're walking. And maybe the sun's hot and it's humid and or it's raining on you and it's just soaking and it's miserable and it sucks. Now, could you imagine if you put the entirety of the Army's inventory in that pack, if you somehow were able to fit all of that stuff, all the ammo, all the weapons, all the clothes, all the everything that the Army had to issue, if you put everything in there, everything that the Army issued to you, I should say, if you were to put everything in there, that pack would weigh you down so much you'd barely be able to move. It's just too much stuff for any one person to have to carry through whatever the mission is that you're trying to accomplish. And you're not going to accomplish your mission. You're not going to get to the destination that you're trying to walk to. You're not going to be able to do your job when you get there because you're going to be exhausted and you're going to have way too much stuff in that pack. So if there's something that you need to get out of there that you actually do need for that mission, you're going to be digging through the pack trying to find what it is, and you're going to be making a mess in the progress, in the process of digging that stuff out. And it's just too much, right? So you leave some stuff behind, right? But it's still there. If you want to go pick it back up, you can, right? Especially if you're dealing with grief, right? Maybe there's a time and a place for grieving the loss of somebody, but it's not every second of every day. You don't have to keep that in your pocket every single second of every day or in your pack. That's going to weigh you down and it's going to prevent you from accomplishing whatever your goals are in your everyday life, whether professional, personal, your relationships, things like that. It's going to start affecting that because it's weighing you down. So you got to find a place for it. Like your wall locker in a military context, you put the extra stuff in that locker and you just take what you need for whatever it is. Whatever it is that you're doing. And then you move on, you do your mission, you accomplish the mission, you come back and you regroup and take out the stuff that you need for the next time, And I think that's maybe just a different way of thinking of it. Might help some folks.
It's a perfect analogy. Yeah. It's a perfect analogy.
Now, I know there's people, especially who are dealing with, that issue that you were talking about of everything bad is happening to me. I'm always sick. I'm always sad. I'm always this, that, and the other in the world out to get me. A lot of those people are probably dealing with some self-doubt issues as well, where I could never be happy again because of this thing. How do you deal with that? And how do you help folks overcome some of that?
Yeah. You must be willing to let that go. I remember my first teacher, Robert Holden, said, in order to have a happy future, you must let go of the hopes of a happy past, of a happier past. And I really heard that, I really heard that. In order to have a happy future, you must give up the hopes of a happier past. We cannot change what has occurred. We can learn from it and we can move forward with wisdom, but we can't change what has occurred. And, again, it comes back to identity. If we identify with a tragedy and trauma and situation as that's who we are, we will continue to bring it forward. Our body doesn't know the difference between talking about a trauma. Now your body relives it the same way. You go through the same emotions. Your body doesn't know the difference between it happening then and happening now. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's not healing or helpful to continue to talk about something tragic, because the body continues to go through that same trauma. So you're putting your body through that same experience over and over again. And that's just like physics and science and the way our body works. It's the way the mind works. Our body responds. That's why you can watch a movie and feel everything in the movie.
Right.
You know, you can watch a movie and start crying. Well, it's not happening to you, but you're in it. So you're responding to it and your body is tightening up and you're feeling sad and your energy's low from watching a movie, you know, and that's how we roll in life. And again, it's not to discount what anyone has been through, because I cannot imagine what other people have been through. I only know my own situation, but I can have compassion, understanding, and empathy. And I can also help someone see the value in, like you said, putting it down, putting it in your locker. It's still there. It doesn't take away from honoring whatever needs to be honored, but you're not carrying that heavy, heavy, heavy weight that is making life impossible.
Yeah. And impossible, I think, is a good word for it, because, you know, based on what you just described, what I was talking about earlier, it would be impossible to carry that weight with you throughout life and be able to go on and grow and achieve great things. Especially when you have that identity that you were talking about, that you just associate with that identity of that trauma, whatever it was. This is now who I am. I'm the person who was a victim of fill in the blank, you know, and having hopes of a happier past was an interesting way that you phrased it, because hope is like something for the future. I buy a Powerball ticket. I hope I win. You know, I go on a job interview. I hope I get that job. But right. All of those things are stuff that's going to happen in the future.
Yes.
It's not like I hope I got a good night's sleep last night. Well, that's done. It's over. I either did or I didn't. Right. You know, either way, I can't hope for it. Because that's done, it's over. I think the very nature of the word hope implies the future. And you can't change the past, no matter how much you want to. I would love to change things in the past that have happened to me and that have happened to other people. I'd love to be able to change. Can't do it. We haven't invented the time machine yet. And, and even if you did, you know, if you think about it, if you did go back and change things, you know, what else would be different now, and how would your hopes and dreams have changed, you know, for the better, for the worse? I don't know. That's opening up a whole other can of worms, but regardless, you can't change the past. And the only thing, just like what I tell my kids, you can only affect your own decisions and behaviors and things like that. The only thing you really can control is what happens in the future. Everything else in the past, that's over. You can't control that. You can do things to make it better, though. And I think that's the goal of that positive thinking, right? That you're talking about.
Well, it's what do you want to see? You know, we can't make ourselves think positive. I'm just going to think positive. You know, we don't want to like create a stress around it, but we want to see what's available. You know, we want to see, is there something else that's available that feels better? You know, I can remember one of my teachers saying, just look for a little bit of a better feeling. You know, just look for a little bit of a better feeling. So, you know, maybe that's just go outside for a walk, you know, you know, whatever you can do to just look for a little bit of a better feeling. We're not going to jump from sorrow to happiness, but we can jump from sorrow to a breath, you know, to, well, maybe if I just take a walk, you know, just to seeing something new, you know, we can just make one step towards feeling better. And that's where we want to go, because again, that's building a foundation. It's not creating a false hope. It's just beginning to build a more solid foundation. We can't change the past, but we can change where we're looking. We can change where we're looking. We can change, you know, when you're talking about your kids, it's like, you know, kids can't change what's happening to them. There's bullying, there's social media craziness, you know, that's happening. But whether we whether we let it in our wheelhouse or not is up to us. Whether we let it be one of those 40 impressions that we're buying into, because remember, we're always recycling our thinking from the past. That's why a lot of times it's like, oh gosh, my life looks the same. It keeps looking the same because we just keep recycling, 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 recycling. But we can choose to allow the thoughts that come in our mind to move through us. We see them, we acknowledge them, but we can allow them to pass by and look for something fresh and new. And sometimes it's as simple as just getting the body involved with taking a walk or stretching or doing intentional breathing, breathing into our heart, just long and slow, right through the nose, in through the nose, and out through the nose. You know, that creates coherence within the body so that we have coherence between the heart and mind, because so many of us are so busy up in our mind, and our mind is the one that's recycling all the stuff that we don't want to continue to recycle. But when we tap into our heart, we can tap into our inner wisdom, our intuition. That's where, you know, a fresh perspective is available. So even if you can't get outside and walk, you can take a breath in through the nose and out through the nose. That's our natural ability to reset. It ignites our natural rest and relax mechanism that just takes us out of that fight or flight.
Yeah. And to your point of taking a walk or taking a breath or whatever, I feel like there has to be some sort of physical component to this, and mm-hmm. correct me if I'm wrong on that, but I've noticed myself anyways, when I go and do some sort of exercise, you know, whether it's taking a walk or whether it's going to the gym or, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing, I'm there in that moment. I'm physically thinking about the next step that I'm taking. If I'm taking a walk, you know, I don't want to step on something and twist my ankle or, you know, whatever. Or if I'm lifting something at the gym or, you know, whatever, I'm thinking of that movement that I'm doing right now. I'm not thinking about 10 movements down the road. I'm not thinking about the bills that I have to pay. I'm not thinking about the, you know, meeting that I have to go to later that day, or I don't think of any of those things. I'm thinking about that one movement right then and there. And it brings me into that present moment. I'm not thinking of, oh no, what's going on in the future. I'm not thinking of, woe is me, whatever has happened to me in the past. I'm thinking of literally that one move that's, you know, curls on, you know, the biceps or whatever. Like, I'm thinking of that one curl, or if I'm taking a walk, I'm thinking about that one next step, you know, that's going on. And it kind of makes it so you can't think of all that other stuff other than right here and right now, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the whole idea of yoga. You know, yoga is union, and it's union, it's our oneness, but it's not about the asanas, the poses. The idea of the poses is to get your mind to slow down, and just all you're doing is you're focusing on getting into that asana. You're focusing on the breath. It's all about breathing. You can do yoga and never move your body. Just breathe. Breathe, breathe, breathe. That's what it is. And that's the whole idea behind it, is to get your mind away from the busyness and get yourself centered back into the present moment. So we don't need a practice that involves poses to do that. We just really need a breathing practice, which is what yoga allows us to do. And that's the whole idea behind it, because when we are present in the moment, all things are possible. We get out of the messiness, the busyness of our mind, which is what creates our suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just being brutally honest here, years ago, I started doing some like guided meditation type uh-huh. things. I had an app on my phone and I'd listen to it, and it would tell me to breathe in and, you know, feel the breath going in and feel the breath going out. And it would tell me, it didn't click. Like I was just like, my mind was still going to all these different places. And I was having a real hard time just thinking, following the very basic instructions that it was telling me to do. Breathe in and feel the breath going in. I literally had to do nothing other than that. And it's a pretty simple thing to do, but I was having trouble with it. And I didn't really understand what the benefits could have been until I did like what I was just describing when I would go to the gym and I'm not thinking of other things when I'm at the gym. I'm thinking of what's the next movement that I need to do to accomplish, my exercise. And I feel like that's what it was trying to get me to do. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't see it at the time. And, So the potential was there. It was in me. I clearly had the potential. Otherwise I wouldn't be able to do this now, but it just took me some time. And maybe it was just the wrong modality for me. You know, the breathing exercises wasn't that the thing that was right for me at that time. So I guess, you know, first off, does that make sense? Even what I just said, but also, are there other things that people can do that you've seen that will help get them to that kind of more present in the moment kind of state?
So I totally understand why that breathing, that meditation was driving you nuts, because if it's too far of a stretch for someone who has a very busy mind, it's too far of a stretch, and I wouldn't even recommend it.
Yeah.
But that's why, so there's two things, you know, one is that's why an actual yoga class where you're doing the poses, that will slow down your mind because you're learning the poses. So that's kind of the entrance to yoga. Yoga is not the right path for everybody. It's a path. Mm-hmm. It's a path. But that's the whole point of the asanas, because some people can't, and it took me a long time to be able to just sit there in the quiet and breathe and be okay with thoughts coming and going and detach from them as best I can. I still can't detach from them. I mean, sometimes I have a very quiet mind and sometimes I don't, but I'm okay with whatever it is either way. Sure. But for someone where that's too much of a stretch, you want to go to the gym, because what does the, you know, any kind of movement, that's why, you know, running, it's adrenaline. It gets your adrenaline going, and it engages your rest and relax. But not only that, it gives you, there's a word that's escaping me, but it's like your happy gene, and it'll come to me.
Okay.
But basically it releases your, this happy gene, and it'll come to me again. But that's the whole idea. That's why when you go to the gym, your endorphins, hello, thank you very much. Okay. So it releases endorphins that create a really good feeling within the body. So that's why any sort of exercise, you're going to feel better because you're releasing those beautiful endorphins. And, you know, if you have the patience to meditate, it's fantastic. If you're interested in yoga, it's fantastic. And you can get to the point where you can sit quietly, but somebody who can't sit quietly, to tell them to sit in meditation is not a good thing. It's not going to be helpful at all.
Sure. Know?
It's
sure.
Something that you build up over time if that appeals to you. But you can get those same benefits by going to the gym, by going for a bike ride, by going walking, by going swimming, any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So I think maybe the takeaway from that part of this conversation is don't toss yourself into the deep end when you are trying to do something that's new to you. You got a very busy mind. You're maybe constantly worried or constantly dwelling on the past or whatever it is that you have going on in your mind. Don't immediately try to turn it off like a light switch. Just click and it's off. Use it. Try to find something that's kind of more like a dimmer and slowly turn it down and get used to the idea of not having those thoughts constantly racing through your head. Right. And then eventually at some point you might be able to turn them off, the way you would a light switch. Like, yeah, there's a time to worry about things. But it's not all the time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't, and you know, some of us just have like, you know, the worry gene, you know what I mean? Where it's just sort of like, and it's learned behavior, but we don't have to worry. You know, we can contemplate, we can look at, but we don't have to worry, because worrying never got anybody anywhere. And I'm not saying that I don't worry, because I've, trust me, had my moments, but I know it's not valuable. What is valuable is finding a way to quiet the mind so that the answer will come, because the answer is always available. When we're worrying, it's something in the future that's not even happening, but we're creating a scenario in our mind. So that's never helpful.
Right. And the example, as you were talking, the example that just popped into my head was, the classic, we're going on a vacation or something, where we're leaving the house for an extended period of time. We're not going to be back for a few days, maybe. And, did I leave the lights on, or did I leave the oven on, or an iron or something like that? Did I leave that? And if you sit there and you're worried about it, and all you, oh my gosh, did I do this? Did I do it? Did I not? What is that going to do? What is that going to solve? It's not going to solve anything. But thinking of a solution to that problem, if you need to occupy your mind with something, is think of a solution. Could you call a neighbor or a friend or something to come over and check and let you know, just to, first off, it'll ease your mind, knowing that has been taken care of, but also, it'll solve the problem. You won't end up causing a fire in your house, or, whatever the case may be, for whatever it is that you're worried about. You're going to have a better solution if you think of a, resolution to the problem, as opposed to just sitting there dwelling on the problem, right?
Yeah. Dwelling never made anything better, And the more we just quiet our mind, maybe take a break, we always say take a break from our thinking. When we take a break from our thinking, that, our wisdom will come through. That's its job. Its job is to save the day. So our wisdom is there. And especially in, being in the military, I can imagine that there's moments where just, a moment in time, you have to make a very quick decision. Yeah. And that's not coming from your filing cabinet. That's coming from your natural wisdom. That's coming from intuition. It's like, you've got to make that split second decision, and you don't even know where it came from or how you came up with it, but it was the right thing to do. We have access to that all the time.
Right. Yeah. And, again, another military example that came to mind as you're talking there is, if you're in a combat situation where there's the enemy who are taking fire at you, and they're hold up in a, location or whatever that maybe is difficult to reach, you can sit there and you can just be like, oh my gosh, what if one of my guys gets hurt? Or what if this happens to me? What if that? And all you're doing is worrying about the problem. Chances are something bad is going to happen, because you're not doing anything to solve the problem, which is eliminate that threat. Either get them to retreat or eliminate the threat altogether. You're not doing anything if you're just sitting there worrying about it. Call in an airstrike, or return fire, or do something. That's the only way that you're going to solve that problem, is by doing something, not sitting there worrying about what could be. That's not going to solve anything. And then after the situation is resolved, you don't have to worry about it anymore. It's over, right?
Yeah. I always remind myself, and remind my clients, is what's going on in your head helpful or hurtful, right? If it's helpful, keep it. If it's hurtful, delete it. If it's hurtful, don't keep it. It's helpful, keep it. Hurtful, delete it. And that's my little reminder to myself. Mm. And it works, because, wisdom is always there for us. And you'll know what to do, but you won't know what to do from state of panic. You'll know what to do from a state of, a calmer mind. And just by breathing in, we have access to that, just to slow down the busyness. We can use this natural reset button see what comes up,
So when you tell people, is this helpful? Is this hurtful? Sometimes people may think that the worry might be helpful. Is there a decision-making process that you incorporate into the coaching and the training that you do? How do you help them with that?
That you say that, because I hear that a lot with parents. Mm-hmm. They like to, they worry about their kids, and I totally get that. I have a kid. However, when we worry about our kids, so everything is energy. Okay. Everything has a vibration. Everything is energy and people feel your energy. So if you're worrying about them, you don't have to be in the same room with them. They feel it. You can sense when someone is worried about you. That's not helpful. Kids will respond. They will give you something to worry about. If you're worried about them, then they feel, well, they must be worried for a reason. Yeah. And then they end up showing up and, you know, and supporting your worry. So it's never helpful to worry because that is, it lowers your frequency. It lowers your vibration. Like I said, everything has a vibe to it. You can tell when you walk in a room, there's a good vibe or maybe there's not such a good vibe. You can feel it. And we have a vibe going on. So that worry vibe is a very stressful vibe. There's no answers in the stress. It's like being stuck in the quicksand, being stuck in the mud. I call it like down the rabbit hole, black hole, you know. But when we see, and I'm just relating it back to kids because that's just where I hear this the most is worrying about our kids. But when we see that our kids have that same wisdom that we do, that we're all made of the same stuff, and we can carry a torch for having faith in them, it opens up a space for them to see within themselves that they have the capability of being okay. You know, just like think about that. You know, when you give someone, you know what, I trust you. I know you're going to be okay. I trust your wisdom. I know that you have great decision-making skills and I trust that you're going to come up with the right thing to do. You know, Bob Proctor, I don't know if you know who Bob Proctor is, but he's since passed, but he's a wonderful teacher, actually of the law of attraction. He was a very big like business guy, whatever, but I was just happened to listen to him yesterday with my husband. And it was just a very small snippet, but he was saying that he never told his kids what to do. Every time his kids would say, you know, Dad, what should I do? What do you think? He'd say, I don't know. What do you think? You know, mm-hmm. He would empower them with knowing that they have decision-making skills. So what was he doing? He was training them to use their decision-making skills, to begin to trust their decision-making skills. So worrying about other people is basically saying to them in a way, you don't have what I have. You know, you're not capable. And we don't want to show our kids that. I know we're not specifically talking about kids, but yeah. But with anybody, you know, you want to empower them with knowing that they do have the ability to problem solve. They do have the ability to make good decisions. And even if they don't make a good decision, how are they ever going to learn if you don't give them the chance? It's like, you know, if a kid's learning to swim, at some point, you've got to take the floaties off. You know, you're going to be there if they need you, but guess what? They'll figure it out. Yeah. Figure out how to get their arms and legs, you know?
Yeah. And there's so many things that a kid goes through in their life that they make a mistake and sometimes they get hurt. They touch the hot stove or they fall off their bike or whatever.
Yes.
And I know we're not talking about kids for a reason, the children, because knowing that thing over there where mom cooks food, we all start off not knowing that that's hot and it hurts us. We all started off there. And we all figured things out as we went through life, right?
Yeah.
We all have the ability to went through life, right? We've all figured out that the stove is hot. We've all knowing to this knows some of this basic stuff. You know, dogs barking at you, don't go stick your hand in their mouth. You know, like that's just not a smart idea. You don't want to do that. You know, but we figure that out. So we have the ability to figure out, you know, is this thought or action or whatever that we're doing, is this helpful or is this hurtful? We may not know it right now because we think we're being helpful when we're worrying about whatever that next thing is. But when you really think about it and you really start peeling back the layers of whatever it is, that's when you start to say, you know what? Maybe that's not so helpful. Maybe it's not as helpful as I thought it is. Or maybe it's actually unhelpful. Yeah. It's taking us back.
Uncomfortable it is when somebody's worried about you. You can feel it. You're like, oh my goodness, please don't worry about me. I'll be okay. You know, it's an uncomfortable feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of us can probably very accurately say, you know, I've got this. You don't need to worry about me. We can figure this stuff out. And you know, even kids, you know, if you're worried about your kids and you know, how they're behaving or acting, guess what? We were all kids. I know. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say that you probably fall in the same boat as everybody else. We've all made mistakes as kids. We screwed things up. We got in trouble. We did things that were maybe we weren't supposed to.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? That's part of life. That's being a kid. Yeah. That's pushing the limits and seeing what is it that I can and can't do. And yeah, how we learn.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So if you're so worried about your kids and you're taking away the opportunities for them to get in trouble or get hurt or this, that, or the other, taking away those learning opportunities from them, right? And they're going to eventually learn them, but they're going to be much bigger when they learn some of these things. And maybe they're going to get hurt even worse than if they learned it earlier on in life. So
yeah. You want to decipher between listening to your instincts. You know, we have mama bear, papa bear instincts that say, you know what? Sorry, you're not going to that party. Right.
Yeah.
There's just something that says, sorry, you're not going. And then there's something that says, listen, I got to let my kid have their wings. There's a difference.
Yeah.
And you know the difference, you know the difference as a parent, like, you know, when is it your wisdom and when is it, you know, just afraid to like, you know, let your kid try to, you know, use their own wings, you know?
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah.
Always listen to your instincts. Always listen to your instincts. And also, you know, it's okay if your kid falls off their bike, or, you know, it's okay if you know, you got to let them learn things with their friends, you know, you got to let them figure out who's a good friend and who's not a good friend, even though sometimes you can see it, you know,
yep.
You're like, wait, got to let them figure it out, because they will develop a skill from that, and they will need that skill. And again, like I said, I always want to say that if your instincts say, do not let my kid go there, listen to that. But there's a difference between that and then just being constantly worrying about your kid.
That's right. And I think that, you know, we've used a children example here, because I think a lot of parents can relate to that. A lot of folks, maybe they don't have kids, but they are worried about other things. Think about it. If you had anything that you needed to care for, whether it's a kid or a pet or your home or your car or your job, your career, any of these things that you have any sort of responsibility for, you can probably apply the same thought process, the same logic. You know, I don't want to lose my job, you know, and so now I'm worried about that. How do I, you know, you can apply some of the same mindset here, where, yeah, you're probably going to make a mistake here and there, you know, with certain things, but it's okay because you're going to learn from those mistakes and you're going to grow from those. I'm not saying purposely go out and, you know, screw things up, you know, but it's okay if you do make an honest mistake, because you will learn from that, and don't be too worried.
In charge, you know, who are we kidding? You know, we're not in charge. We're not in charge of the show. There's something so much greater that's running this whole show. So we got to take our hands off the wheel and have some trust, you know, in the world, just trust that everything's working out for the greatest good. If we're trying constantly to control what's going on outside of us, we will constantly be spinning our wheels. We'll never be at a rest and relaxed state. It would be impossible, because it's impossible to control what's going on outside of us. Nobody can handle that. That's not for us to do.
Yeah. And I think just bringing it back to one of the earlier points that we had made in this episode is just being okay with the way things are right now. I mean, always trying to improve things, but also being okay with this, being comfortable with what you have in life. You know, being comfortable with, okay, maybe I don't have a spouse. Okay, well, be comfortable with who you are first, because you're not going to be a great spouse if you're not comfortable with who you are first.
Exactly. It's the biggest mistake people make, is they think, well, when I get a boyfriend or I get a girlfriend or, you know, get a relationship, then I'll feel better. and you're looking for somebody else to complete you. And that just doesn't work. You know, in math, two halves make a whole, but in relationship, that's just not true. Two halves are a disaster.
Yeah. You know, yeah, exactly.
Make a whole relationship. In relationships, you've got to get yourself right, because you can't be at the mercy of another person. That'll be never ending.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. So great points here, I think. And I'd love for you maybe to provide a message for the listeners to take away from this conversation, maybe kind of wrapping things up, or even, you know, kind of sharing something that might be beneficial with regards to what we were talking about here, but, you know, to help them in their own journeys and help them see the potential for their own growth, happiness, no matter what they face in their backgrounds.
Yeah, I just put up a post, and I don't remember exactly what it said, but it was basically, you know, that the answers are within. Like, look within, look within, look within. The answers are always within. They are not outside of us. So if we're looking on the outside for something to change, we will always be chasing our tail. The work is always within. Get one with yourself. Start doing your own self-discovery. Start looking within. Start getting comfortable in your own skin, no matter what your circumstances are. And the more that you get comfortable with your own wholeness, regardless of anything else, your outside world as a result will get better. It has to get better, because the world is our mirror.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it has been an absolute pleasure speaking with you today. Can you tell people where to go to get in touch with you, find out more about the coaching that you offer and things along those lines?
Yeah, thank you so much. Our website is shifthappens.global, and all of our social media is on there. It's Shift Happens Global on Instagram and Shift Happens on Facebook. But if you go to our website, shifthappens.global, you'll see we have lots of free, amazing downloads and giveaways. We have a membership, which you can use a code EARLY50 to get 50% off. It brings the membership to like $22, which is a no-brainer, where you can hop on these calls twice a month and stay in this conversation if that appeals to you. We also have a course for teens and families. We work with businesses. So lots of fun ways to get in touch. And, you know, just remember, regardless of anything that's occurred in your life, you are already whole. So it's just getting really used to that deep, deep, deep truth. And the more you quiet your mind, the more that you get to experience that in your own life.
Well, that's awesome. And I'll have links to your website and your social media account in the show notes for this episode. So anyone who is looking to get in touch or find out more about what it is that you offer, they can check out the show notes and click through from there. When things go sideways, will you be prepared? Some people are concerned they might have to go for a long time without electricity or even food. That's why I want to introduce you to 4patriots.com. Get preparedness products you can use now and that could save your life later. My favorite is 4patriots' new solar generator, the Patriot Power Generator 2000X. It uses the endless free power of the sun to power lights, your TV, medical equipment, even run your fridge. Plus, it's expandable and comes with a free solar panel. Or pick up one of 4Patriots' best-selling survival food kits. Delicious tasting and designed to last for 25 years. They even have kits with real meat, and if the power's out, no worries. Just boil water over a fire, simmer, and serve. You'll enjoy a hot meal and stay safe in a crisis. More smart people than ever are finding 4Patriots. Over 2 million customers trust them, and you might have even seen them on TV. I had the folks at 4Patriots set up a special page for you at 4patriots.com/drive-on so that listeners of this podcast can see this week's discounts and deals before they go away. Go to 4patriots.com/drive-on, but hurry, these deals won't last long. Save more and get peace of mind now by going to 4patriots.com/drive-on. Before we wrap up this episode, though, I want to switch things up a little bit. Lately, I've been doing a bunch of humor and doing stuff like, you know, showing funny videos or telling corny dad jokes. That's pretty much the limit of my funny bone is dad jokes. So I'm going to try something new in this episode with some trivia questions.
Yeah.
I don't quite have a name for this segment yet, but we'll see how it goes today. Maybe something will come up through some of the questions that I asked today, you know, and so we'll see. And if it if this segment flops, it doesn't seem like it resonates too well. Well, I won't waste time on a name here. So, so for you, this is the way it'll work. I'll ask you a series of questions. You give me an answer to the question. We'll see if it's right or wrong. I have not provided you these questions in advance.
Nope. And I have told you, I am not the girl that you want on your Trivial Pursuit team, but fire away.
I will start off with, so these are all military related trivia questions. I don't know if I'm going to keep that format going forward.
Yeah, already we're at a deficit here, my friend, but
I think that might be a mistake on my part, is having someone who was not affiliated with the military doing these military questions. We'll see though. Let's give it a whirl. So first question, what does the acronym NATO stand for?
I don't know. It's national something. I should know the answer to that, but I don't. I don't know. I told you, you do not want me on the Trivial Pursuit team.
It's North Atlantic Treaty Organization.
Oh, how would I know that?
That is okay. We'll move on to the next one.
Go ahead.
This one might be easier. I don't know. Let's see. What is the highest U.S. military decoration or award that can be awarded to someone in the military?
I have no idea, Scott. I'm the worst.
That's okay. It's the Medal of Honor.
What is it?
The Medal of Honor.
The Medal of Honor. I should have known that. That seems like something I should know. That seems like an easy answer, but go ahead.
That's okay. This, you know what this is doing? It's making me realize that I'm not going to do these military questions if the person who is a guest was not connected to the military. So this is helpful. This is research mode. This is exploratory mode right now. I got three more questions. We'll see how
they go ahead.
All right. In military time, I'm having a feeling this is not going to work out. In military time, what does Zulu stand for? In a time zone designation, Zulu.
Are you gonna give me a minute to Google it? Because I can do
that. No, it's.
I have no idea. Isn't Zulu the guy from Star Trek? I mean, I don't know.
No, it's equivalent to Greenwich Mean Time. They use that as kind of like a baseline time.
This isn't fair.
Okay, how about what does POW stand for?
Oh, prisoners of war.
There you go. You got one. All right, one. That one is good. Final question. Which branch of the military uses a slogan, Semper Fi?
I think it's the Army, but I don't know. No?
The Marine Corps. Yeah. That's okay. You got one, though. So that's good. I wasn't sure how this segment was going to go. I do have some good feedback here. Using the military questions on a non-military connected person.
Right, for somebody who has a degree in music.
That, you know, if I asked you some music questions, I'm pretty sure this would have gone way better than it did.
It would have looked a little different.
Yeah. So this one was a flop. I think this was a flop, though, on my part. That was my fault for having those kind of questions. Maybe I'll recycle some of those questions next time I have somebody who was in the military and should know some of those answers.
Exactly.
You know, but some of those questions were tricky. I think they were probably designed to trip some folks up, but maybe
definitely designed to trip me up, my friend.
On the military side, it probably would even still trip some people up. Anyways, so. Well, thank you for playing along with it. I know trivia is not your strong suit, but thank you again for playing along. And also thank you for taking the time to join us and sharing the message of hope for folks who might feel like they're broken. Knowing that now knowing that they are not broken, that there isn't something wrong with them. It's just finding out how to be okay with who you are and where you are in life and focusing on that and focusing on how to improve as opposed to looking back to the past and dwelling on that past, right?
Yeah. Perfect. So,
thank you again.
Well, thank you, my friend. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On podcast. If you want to support the show, please check out Scott's book, Surviving Sun, on Amazon. All of the sales from that book go directly back into this podcast and work to help veterans in need. You can also follow the Drive On podcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube, and wherever you listen to podcasts.